Amen. I'm glad to see as many out on this Sunday. Amen. This is really not the type of winter that anyone could have expected, but we'll take it. Amen. I thank God for the sunshine and the rain and the things. Amen. I thank God for that. Amen. Amen. It's truly, truly a blessing. Amen. Amen. It's truly a blessing. Amen. Our scripture reading today is coming from Romans. And I'll be reading from the King James Version, coming from Romans, the 13th chapter. Amen. And I thank everyone that were able to come out yesterday for the men and women's ministry. Thank you all for showing up and coming out. Amen. Amen. And when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And again, I'm reading from the King James Version. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. For the reading of God's word this morning. Amen. God gave me a word on this morning. Amen. He gave me a chance to digest it as well. Amen. And I thank God for the word that he has given. What I want to really speak about this morning is about command. Amen. We need to start commanding things. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul is constantly urging churches to wake up. He tells the Roman congregation, the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep because your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. He urges the Corinthians to awake unto righteousness. He tells the Thessalonians, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert. Paul urges the Ephesians, wake up, O sleepers, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Amen. Often in the scriptures, believers are urged to wake up. They're warned of the dangers of spiritual sleep. A snooze is like a coma that will result in death unless the believers awaken. As Christians, we should rise up early because the early morning is the best time to meet the Lord. A good morning prayer is good. Your mind is clear. Your spirit is alert. And you're still at peace and you're not troubled by the issues of the day. You give God your first fruit. The best of your morning and the best of your day when you come before him in the morning. With your mouth, you will set the compass of the day. You will set the direction of the day. You will instruct the day on what to do for you. And the day has no reason not to obey you because you will decree, order a thing, and it will come to pass. You should start your morning off by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, I declare your lordship over this day. I get underneath your covering and anointing of the early riser. I command the morning to take hold of the ends of the earth and shake the wicked out of it. I would have dominion over the devil in the morning. I command the earth to get in place to receive heavenly instructions on my behalf. I command all the elements of creation to heed and obey. Every demonic agenda, evil thought pattern designed against the agenda of the kingdom of heaven is destroyed at the root of conception in Jesus' name. The spiritual airways and highways are being hijacked by Jesus. The atmosphere of the airways over me, my family, my church, my workplace, the ministry, the neighborhood, the city, the nation, and the world is producing a new climate. This new climate is constructing a godly stronghold in times of trouble, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's how you should start your morning off, by commanding the morning to get in line with the word of God. The morning is a time when the sun rises and begins the new day, and you wake up and start a new day. The morning have ears, just in case you didn't know it. You have the power to shape the day for the morning. Dark powers are also commanding the morning to do evil. The morning controls the rest of the day. The morning is alive and more active compared to the rest of the day. See, here you need to understand the first hour of your day and how you spend it often sets the tone for the rest of your day. In case you didn't know it. It not only sets the rest of the day, but also the rest of your life. By waking up early, you start to reduce the stress in your life by eliminating the need to rush in the morning. Amen? Believe me when I say this, waking up early would add an incredible amount of positive things in your life, and you will start to notice a change in your own attitude. Ain't nobody got to tell you that your attitude has changed, but if you start waking up early in the morning, you will notice your own change in attitude. I was doing some research, and study has shown that morning people who consistently woke up early each day actually scored better on test scores and overall higher grade point averages in comparison to those who slept in all the time. When you wake up early in the morning, you're more likely to take part in a fixed routine and, most importantly, eat a good breakfast. Late snoozers tend to skip breakfast because they try to get in every last wink of sleep that they can. Skipping breakfast is a bad idea because your body needs those nutrients in the morning for energy and focus. You see, people in the morning, they ain't got no energy and they ain't focused. That's because they ain't had no breakfast. Your body has been on a fast all night long for 6 to 8 hours, and you need to break that fast with some healthy food. When you decide to skip your AM meal, your body goes into starvation mode. So the next time you actually eat something, you're more likely to overeat and crave unhealthy foods. Amen? So some of the most successful people in the world are early risers. It's simple. If you wake up early, you get more done. That's just as simple as that. I like in the scriptures in Psalm 63:1, I believe David said, "Early will I seek thee." Amen. Somebody else know what David said too. So I'm not the only one that read that.
But I also like in Genesis chapter 19, 27, Abraham was an early riser. Now Abraham arose early in the morning and went to a place where he had stood before the Lord. Joshua chapter 3 and 1, Joshua was also an early riser. Exodus chapter 8 and 20, Moses was an early riser. Now the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water and say to him, thus said the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Mark chapter 1, 35, Jesus prayed early in the morning. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. We need to get up early in the morning and command the day. Get things going, get things started. For those of us who simply believe, there has been a transaction made. A transfer of power, might, and dominion has been given to those who simply believe. The Father is moving us from a place of just hearing what he has spoken to a place of seeing what he has spoken. When we can see what he has promised, then we can begin to command the mornings of our situation. We can change our lives by changing the way we see things. So what does command mean? Command means it's an authoritative direction or instruction to do something. The power or authority to command. In other words, make someone do something. This is why we need to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Listen to what I'm saying. In Genesis, watch how God does. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and in the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible is saying the same thing as in the beginning. There was nothing. The world was empty, but until God gave the command, until God spoke the word. You may be here today empty, broke, feeling lonely and discouraged. I come to give you some good news today. Just speak the word of God. Your attitude this morning should be, I'm done being quiet. So how many know that there is power in the word of God? If there is power in the word of God, then we need to learn to speak what God's word is saying. Because if you just said that there is power in God's word, then you need to speak God's word. Hebrews chapter 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The body of Christ has been sitting around long enough and keeping quiet long enough. It's time for us to wake up and get up and take a stand and take charge. The devil is on the loose trying to keep the church from speaking up, because Satan knows that he cannot stand against the word of God. So I come to tell you today that you do not have to take it any longer. All you have to do is speak God's word, and you speak God's word, Satan has to come under the authority of God's word. This is why Jesus said it is written, because he was not guessing what God's word said. He said it is written what God's word said. So he wasn't out there guessing. I think this is what the Lord said. I'm not sure what God said. No, he said it is written what God's word said. So in other words, he was telling the devil that you need to get in line with God's word. So in other words, what I'm saying is that we cannot live on just coming to church. We cannot live on just getting prayed for. It's more than just coming to church and being prayed for. The word of God needs to be in us. Psalms 33:6-9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Bible is the written word of God. God has spoken to us in his word. There is something unique about the word of God. It reveals to us the truth about creation. It also reveals to us the truth about the inward of our lives. Jeremiah 23:29 says, let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. It is not my word like fire. It's not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Think of the word of God as a hammer. A hammer can drive home a nail. Positive results. A hammer can break down obstacles, overcoming negative. So in other words, speak God's word faithfully, and all kinds of positive things will begin to happen. All kinds of obstacles and oppositions will begin to be broken if you speak God's word. Three times Jesus spoke to Satan, it is written. And Satan's schemes were defeated. Why? Because Jesus used the written word of God to defeat Satan. So if Jesus can use the written word to defeat Satan, then all we got to do is use Jesus as an example in our lives to say that all I got to do is speak God's word faithfully, and it shall be as it said that it would be. Then I'm going to speak God's word over my situation. In other words, I'm going to command the morning to come under God's covering. All right. So in other words, what I'm trying to get you to understand is to get up out of your bed and command the morning. Don't hit the snooze button every 10 to 15 minutes to prolong your sleep or coma. That's really what it is. All you're doing is stealing more time away from the preparation that needs to be done. You keep promising yourself, after I hit this button right here, I'm going to get up. And I'm going to get up out this bed. No, you're not, because you're going to hit it again. And all you're really doing is programming your mind to go back into that coma stage and to stay exactly where the enemy wants you to be, is asleep. The Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of people just like us. These Roman Christians felt like hitting the snooze button and sleep a little longer. They wanted to continue living in the Roman world as if it would go on forever. They wanted to hit the snooze button. You know, when you hit the snooze button, you don't have to get up. You just lay there. Some people hit the snooze button on God's plans for them. All right. Let me pause there for a moment. It's getting ready to get deep, y'all. Some people hit the snooze button on God's plan for them. We are not ready to move forward, so we do whatever it takes to lessen the call of duty or responsibility on our soul. We've been sleeping and the time to wake up has come. The alarm clock is shouting at you to get up. Many of us have hit the snooze button to continue life as it has always been. Maybe the alarm clock to your soul is saying it is time to stop being a burden, to begin bearing burdens. But then some just hit the snooze button. Maybe the alarm clock to your soul has been the call of God into ministry. But instead of moving forward into God's plan, we hit the snooze button and go on as if nothing has changed. We also must acknowledge that sleeping after the alarm clock goes off is not a good thing. There's a reason why it's going off in the first place. It's time to wake up, and it's time for you to get up. When God needs you to get up, the sleep is not so sweet anymore. And sometimes God will do whatever he has to do to get you up out of that bed. Sleeping is all right during the nighttime. But when it's day, it's time to get up. And it's time to do what God has called you to do. Amen? So when you wake up, we got to throw off some stuff. Amen? In Romans chapter 13 and 12, when it is morning time, you need to take some stuff off. When I got up this morning, I had to throw the covers off the bed and then take off my sleeping clothes. See, your sleeping clothes is not the same as your daytime clothes. Sleeping clothes just keeps you comfortable for the night. But daytime clothes is meant to help you in efforts to do what needs to be done in the daytime. So have you noticed that no one in here today right now came in with the pajamas on? That's because you're not wanting to sleep right now. At least I don't think so. It's daytime. It's time to throw off some stuff. There are people here that have some stuff that needs to be thrown off because it's daytime. There are some folks here today who are trying to live in the daytime as if it's night. Throw off that which is needs to be thrown off. There is some here that is running with the wrong crowd as well. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off, get it off, the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. There needs to be a change in appearance, a change in transaction. There needs to be a difference between your night clothes and your day clothes. You can't be having your night clothes on trying to do day work. You need your day clothes on to do some day work. I'm getting to that. The Bible says to throw off the darkness. All that stuff that was late last night, throw it off. You don't need that right now. There are some who still have on the clothes of their previous life. I know a man who's still stuck in the 70s. Still got on his 70 clothes. They ain't changed his appearance at all. I remember hearing some of the old folks saying that there was a time when you could tell the difference between Christians and the world by the way that they presented themselves and their appearance. Now folks just look in any kind of way and saying that they are Christian. I'm just using that loosely, as my grandfather would say. Not that clothes make you a Christian, but there was a difference between how we looked. But I can't go to work with my night clothes on. There's a different attire that's for my daytime work. See, I have to put on my work clothes for my daytime work. A naked man ain't ready for the demands of the day. He ain't ready for nothing. Amen. The only thing he can do is go on back in that house and get some clothes on. All right. You have to put something on. It's a difficult thing to wake up when sleepiness is overtaking you in the morning. You got to get to the point where you say, I got things to do. I have to get ready. It's no wonder that when I go to bed early. And when I go to bed early, I rise up early. You know, I can't do all that. I remember, I'm going to say it like this, but I mean this in a loving way. I remember when the prophetess Katina was in my business. And she said, the Lord said, what you doing staying up late at night? And he said, God said, go to bed. I said, ooh, God watching me. Staying up late. Now she said, oh, God said for you, you need to go to bed. You need to get your rest. You need to get your sleep. She said, God said, don't you stay up late like that. Don't do that. And I'm going to say this. I can always tell when my wife have to speak at church. Because when my wife have to speak at church, the women's ministry My wife is up without me having to get up. I don't have to go and wake my wife up when she has to be the, when she's a speaker at the church. Because my wife will get up and she's ready to go. But when my wife is not speaking, Lord help the household of the Carradines. She will fight you. Man, I mean, she's strong too. She'll fight you. You tell her, baby, it's time to get up. I'll go and I do my thing. You know, I'm getting ready. You know, by the time I'm fully dressed, my wife's still out. And I'm like, excuse me, baby, get up. She get up moving slow. Just as pitiful as she can be. Moving slow. I mean, I'm sitting there going like, okay, I do have to preach today, but I'm not understanding this. So when Sunday mornings come, I throw the covers back, take off my night clothes, put on my preaching clothes, come to church ready to do war, ready to go to battle. Yesterday I saw my wife, she was getting ready for battle yesterday. So I had a little lesson plan all together. Let the word of God marinate inside of her bones and getting real inside of her. And I saw her getting ready for war. So already getting ready for battle. I didn't disturb her. I didn't bother her because I know what she's going through right now. So I let her be alone with the Lord because I know what it is to prepare for the day and for a message. So I let her alone. So I'm watching her. I'm like, God is getting her right now. Using her, getting her ready for the women's ministry on Saturday morning. Now I said, Lord, what they say if you can't say a word, just what? Did I say enough? Woo! Remember how it's easier to get up when you got things to do. Get up, throw off and put on. Throw off wickedness and put on Jesus. Somebody told me that it's hard to live the Christian life. It's hard to fight with sin. It's hard to continue battling everyday life. And I understand what they're saying, but too often we try to battle sin while we are sleeping. Yeah, I don't believe what I'm saying to you. Too often we try to battle wickedness while we are sleeping. In Judges chapter 16, 19, then she, Delilah, lulled him, Samson, to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shaved off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. You can't do nothing sleepy. You're very vulnerable when you're sleeping. Enemy comes in and take advantage of you. When you're sleeping, this is why God said to Pharaoh, to Moses, get up early in the morning because the enemy, this is what he's going to do. He's going to go to the water, but I want you to be there and tell him to let my people go. God knows what the enemy is doing. This is why he's saying rise up early in the morning, because the enemy is rising up early in the morning. This is why when you get up, you say, I command the morning to come underneath the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ and to come underneath the word of God. All right. Yeah. So we need to wake up. Life tends to keep you down, head down, can't get out of bed, won't get up. Having a pity party to yourself, talking about woe is me. But I got news for you. See, it's easy to get up, for a Christian to get up when they remember these sayings by Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am your anchor in the time of storm. I am the door. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the King of kings. I am the Son of God. Then you say, well, man, I got to get up because I remember that my Father is on the throne, that God has all power in his hand. So you got to say, I got to get up. If I don't do anything else, I'm getting up and praising God. If you live every day in God's resurrection power, you don't have to stay down. You can get up. Even if you are crippled or sick, your spirit can get up. Your will can get up. Your determination can get up. You can get up. You got to get up. Don't let the world keep you down. Don't let the devil keep you down. Don't let your situation keep you down. It may look like you're not putting much effort or doing much, but you need to understand that it's working. So you need to get this into your mind that God is doing the works, so it shall be done. So you need to get up. And when you get up, God's power, resurrection, will be vested in your life. So we need to open up our mouth and do something. Get up. Everybody need to get up. The young people need to get up. Middle-aged folks need to get up. Old folks need to get up. We need to get up because why? There is a battle that is being fought, not in Iraq, not in Ukraine, not in the Middle East. It's being fought right here. As Christians, we make the mistake of saying either ignore Satan. We have to ignore Satan or pretend that Satan has no power and is nothing more than a myth or just some past problem, or we dwell on him and give him credit for everything that goes wrong in our lives. Two things you need to know. The devil is real, but I read the back of the book and it says we win. See, every day when I hear how wickedness prevail in the land, you know, how innocent babies are murdered, how marriages are destroyed, how children are molested, how rapists are set free, how wrong things is now an acceptable lifestyle, and how the devil is toppling down and on one preacher after another. I think to myself, devil, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't strut around so proud. Because you see, I read in Revelations chapter 19 and 20, that's in the back of the Bible, in case some of you all don't go back there. It says, and the beast was taken. In other words, captured. And with him, the false prophets, they both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So I know how this thing turns out. In the end, God wins. The end has been just as determined as the beginning. It's not like God set out in the beginning with a plan and said, let us see how it's going to play out. Well, take another look. God has already got the end finished. He knows how it's going to happen. He knows how it's going to turn out. But what I want you to understand something this morning, God's alarm clock is going off. You can't hit the snooze button on that. You can't hit the snooze button on that. Have you ever listened to the news lately? So what do I mean by when I say God's timetable? I use the word timetable because the word time here does not refer to chronological time. It refers to a special time fixed in a period of time. We are living in that period of time that's described in the verses that I've been reading in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. And it says, it's been said in there, Paul is referring to the last era, age of history, preceding Christ's return. Let me say this to you. We always want to know, when is Christ going to return? Let me say this to you. Soon and very soon. You know, and one thing I want you to get into your mind is that God promised that he will send a Messiah. Check that off. He's done that. Isaiah 53. Psalms 22 predicted that he would die a terrible death for our sins. Check that off. He's done that. Psalms 116 predicted that he would rise from the dead. Well, you can check that off because he's done that. Psalms 110 predicted that he would be exalted and sit on the throne at the right hand of God. Well, you can check that off because he's doing that right now. Jesus and the prophets predicted the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all God's people. Well, we know that you can check that off because that has been done. The prophets predicted that the Jews would be restored to the land. Well, you can check that off because that happened in 1948. In case you didn't know history. In fact, in 2006, for the first time in 1900 years, there was once again more Jews living in Israel than in any other place in the earth. Check that off. So then, what is left to be done? How much more is left to be done? Well, I can tell you this, soon and very soon, the Lord shall appear with the shout from heaven. I don't know when, but I know it's closer than when they said it. But I can tell you this, that there ain't gonna be no soul winning inside of heaven. If you got somebody in your family that don't have the Lord in their life, well, you better tell them that today is the day that they need to get their soul together. They need to get their soul right, because I'm telling you, it ain't going to be no soul winning in heaven. You're going to already be saved. You're going to have to get it together right now. Accept Christ as your Savior right now. Let me say this. What the Lord also said in the Bible was that in Matthew chapter 24 and 14, he said that the kingdom of God will be preached in many nations. Look at the technology that we have today. You can turn on your tube and you can have the world right here in your hands. Everybody is being preached to. Everybody is hearing the word of God. Let me tell you, I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, it ain't much left to do for the Lord to come. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you to wake up, get up, stand up. It's time to wake up and do something for the Lord. When the night is over, our opportunity for service in this life will be over. No more. Life is too short. Eternity is too long. Souls are precious. People need to be saved. As I close, I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try to. But as I get ready to try to finish this off, as I try to get myself together and try to get you an understanding of what God is saying to us, God is trying to get you to a place where you can see the glory of God. He's trying to get you to understand that he is the only way, the truth and the life. Nobody comes through God, get to God, but you got to go through him. Let me say this, and I may pick it up next Sunday, I don't know. But Samson fell asleep. This is what the Lord showed me. Fell asleep on the enemy's lap. He a Christian. You falling asleep on the enemy's lap. And as soon as he fell asleep, this is what God is showing me. Do not fall asleep. It's time to rise up and get up. As soon as he fell asleep, the enemies moved in. The enemy has a mission to put believers to sleep. Her goal was to put them to sleep so they can come and capture him, overpower him, overtake him. That's what the darkness is doing to the Christians. Trying to overtake you while you sleep, while you're saying, let me hit a little bit more. We should have a tailgate party on a parking lot trying to get into the church. If they can do it for a football game, how come we can't do it out here? God has done more for us than the teams that we are cheering for. God has been faithful to us, even when we haven't been faithful to him. I thank God that God doesn't do us like we do him. Well, God, let's say God said, well, you know, I don't feel like blessing this morning. I don't feel like delivering folks this morning. I ain't had a vacation in a while. I mean, people been blowing up my emails, my phone, all kind of stuff. I've been Twittering and doing all this stuff. You know, I just don't have time right now. Let me hit my out of office reply on. And let me tell you too, you know, I'll be back. If you just leave a message, Gabriel, who is a messenger, he'll take it. And let him, you know, take the message and get back with me, and I'll see what I can do. I'm glad God don't put the out of office on us. You know, I'll be back in a couple of days. I'm glad God, when he hears his faithful child crying up to him, he opens up the windows of heaven. God hears their voice and say, my baby is calling me. From down below, I got to see about him. I want to understand what is going on, not that he don't know, but he wants to hear from his child. He wants to hear from his children. God wants to bless each and every one of us if we will humble ourselves. Samson, playing around, lost his strength to a wicked woman. Had nothing better but to just take his strength. You know the trick of the enemy? The trick of the enemy is that they want to belittle the children of God as much as possible. I mean, they want to make us look as bad can be. Yeah. Enemy don't have no remorse on the children of God. All Satan wants to do is rob, kill, and destroy. This is why when we get up out of the bed in the morning, you need to start throwing the covers off and jump up out of that bed and hit your knees on the floor and send up some knee mails to God and say, Lord, here am I. I command this morning to come in line with the word of God. Have an attitude when you say it. Get strong, because the enemy's also a command in the morning, and they're being more forceful than you are. Don't be all pretty and sophisticated trying to clear your throat. God know what you're saying. Sometimes we try to do things all cute and pretty. Let me tell you something. If I need somebody to pray for me, if you want to be pretty and cute, you shut your mouth. You give me somebody that can pray. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I don't want nobody to say, hey, what you waiting on? I need some help. Come right now, Lord Jesus. Right now, I need somebody that's going to send some fire down. I got an urgent situation here that I need some deliverance. I need some help. I don't need you to straighten up your tie. Take the tie off. Help me. Amen.